Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. Just right for a few more walks on the beach, a long drive, or walk by yourself. New and surprising NPR podcasts are a great summer soundtrack. Fascinating interviews, highlights from the week's news, storytelling, and entertainment. Browse all the NPR podcasts on iTunes now. All right. Welcome to the second half of Pop Culture Happy Hour from the Bell House. This is my favorite part of the show. This is the quiz part of the show because I have answers here. And that's just the way I like it. So, you know, I see Stephen and Glenn over here, and they look like they want to be a team.
Yeah, we're pals.
They look like they want to be a team for the purposes of this quiz. So we need some opponents for them. Fortunately, we brought some. Familiar to many of you who visit the Bell House often, NPR's very own from Ask Me Another, Ophira Eisenberg and Jonathan Colton.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Thank you for doing this.
Now,
terrifying.
Before we get started.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, are we? This is where we talk about what happened to you?
Yeah. I don't know how many of you know this. Okay. But Linda and I have been on Ask Me Another.
Yes.
You guys did a great job.
Yeah, we loved having you on.
It was really great having you, and you did a great job.
It was like the highlight of our whole year.
It's one of my
favorite
segments.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what were we going to say?
You know, they bring on, they're showing the NPR staff. What's the show like? Bring out Guy Raz. Guy Raz. They give Guy Raz a quiz, and it's like, the president of the United States is Barack blank. And I'm sitting there like, I'm going to kill this.
And it's true. We're like, Guy, what is your first name?
So they do this quiz where Jonathan, very talented musician, basically it was completely spectacularly humiliating.
I didn't realize this inviting us was all a revenge thing. First of all.
That was actually what I was leading to.
Okay. Yeah.
This is for me personally.
Okay.
About revenge.
All right.
Great.
I think you're saying revenge, and maybe what you want to say is context. This is just the context.
Sure.
In which we find ourselves in this situation.
Right. This is just the context for the revenge fantasy.
Right.
That is about to come true.
If things would have gone differently, we wouldn't have to do this.
Right. Exactly.
That's the
context. Right. Because that's one of the things that we like to do in public media. We give the context.
Yeah. Well, I'm Canadian. Let's even the score.
I like your show very much, and I like both of you very much. I'm not in this.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Stephen pushes him off the stool.
What happens?
Your own lonely road, man.
The quiz that I have for you guys tonight is called Foot or Fight. Mm. And I will read you a word, and you will tell me whether it is one of the many varieties of shoes produced by Jimmy Choo. Mm. Or whether it is one of the American Gladiators.
All right.
Who did the American Gladiating on the American Gladiating Show.
American Gladiators.
I've decided that this is the hill I'm going to die on in my feud with Ask Me Another.
Congratulations. You've set up a true lose-lose situation.
All right. Are you ready? We can start with you.
Let's do this.
All right.
We got this.
We are working together.
You are working together.
Together.
Your first one. Cannon.
Well, I mean, that's a gladiator, dude, right? That's a gladiator.
Cannon sounds like it's a gladiator, but keep in mind the way Linda's brain works.
Mm. Would you want to wear a shoe called Cannon? Unless it was Canon, and then it'd be like...
It's a very important
for
a shoe to be worn throughout, you know, history. Right.
That belongs in the larger scheme of shoes you have.
Right.
I still say gladiator.
I say shoe, but all right, man. I'm going to defer. I always defer. Why do I defer?
You're saying gladiator?
I'm going to say gladiator.
Yeah, no, it's a floral print slip-on. It's an $850 floral print slip-on.
Is there one N or two? I'm curious.
Two. Canon.
Makes no sense.
Boom.
Speaking of context, you all know how infrequently I'm right. in these things.
I do. All right, Ophira and Jonathan, your first word is mercy.
Okay, listen, I know one thing about women is that we don't call shoes mercy.
Oh, why would you? That doesn't make any sense. They're the very opposite of mercy.
That's right.
Mercy sounds like it could be a lady gladiator.
Oh, I see.
Right?
So it's sort of like...
A sexy lady gladiator?
I don't think there's any other kind.
You, shows you mercy at the last minute?
So all the whole time...
It's She's punishing you the whole time.
Oh, I get it. Passive-aggressive, right?
Right,
yeah,
that's right.
I'm all about that.
I feel like gladiator is the right response.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So you're saying gladiator?
Gladiator.
Yeah, no, it's a boot. It's an $1,150 boot called Mercy. All right.
We are killing this.
Yeah.
Stephen and Glenn.
It's being killed.
Siren.
I think gladiator.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Based on what?
Well, the odds are 50-50.
Uh-huh. See?
We've gone shoe, is what I'm saying. So I'm like, you know, flipping the coin. It's heads. Now it's got to be tails. This is why I don't go to Vegas.
All right. How is it spelled? Is it S-Y-R-E-N?
If it were S-Y-R-E-N,
then it would definitely be gladiator.
There's a three.
A numeral one and a three. It's
spelled,
a password.
It's spelled siren.
All right. All right.
It's not a trick.
We're going to go with gladiator.
You are correct.
All right.
Congratulations, yes. Stephen. I'm already feeling totally humiliated.
We'll all see each other back here again.
That's right.
Dash.
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 Is that spelt the normal way?
Spelled the normal way.
Or is
way.
It actually just a dash?
It's spelled the normal way. Dash.
D-A-S-C-H, I assume.
Dash. D-A-S-H.
Dashiel.
Dash.
It's Dashiel.
Dashiel. Short for the wiener dog.
Dash. See, I'm trying to do what Stephen was doing. I'm trying to get inside her head. If I had gone shoo gladiator.
No. Okay, wait a second.
But that's a fool's game.
You know better from our game. You know better from our show.
Yeah.
That anytime you think like that, it doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. That's not how these things happen.
That's right. We'll go like 9 shoes, 1 gladiator, 9 more shoes. We don't care.
The joke is there's no gladiator.
There's never a gladiator.
Ha ha. I do have to say Dash sounds like a super lame gladiator name.
The worst gladiator of all time.
Pretty bad.
And someone that always hangs out between 2 more powerful gladiators.
Oh, hi, Dash. And it's a shoe.
It sounds like a lamer shoe. I will say that.
Yeah, no, but
like a broken flip-flop.
It wants to run fast. It wants to run fast, right? Maybe it's an $850 sneaker.
Oh yeah, to run away.
Yeah.
Oh, from a gladiator.
What do you think?
All right.
Should we say shoe?
I'm gonna say gladiator.
You're gonna say.
Yeah. Will you go with me on that one?
I'll go with you on this.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's a gladiator.
Yeah.
No, it's a big biker boot.
Son of a biker.
All right. You get to pick the next one, no matter what.
Yep.
Stephen Glenn, diamond.
Say right.
There's like a gasp in the audience. Ooh, diamond.
Because they know it.
I think it's gladiator.
Gladiator? Yeah. You are correct.
All right, then.
So,
I actually remember that gladiator. You're in the zone, man. It happens. You're in the zone.
I'm not getting in the way of this one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's entirely up to me. This is just like Little League all over again.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Zap.
Zap. Again, really lame gladiator name.
The worst gladiator.
Zap.
I know.
I got to say shoe on this one.
Can we say name of a cat?
It's one or the other.
I say shoe.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm with you.
Shoe.
Gladiator.
Oh, God!
I did not prepare myself for the possibility of winning this.
Stephen and Glenn, Marvel.
It's two on the nose. Right? It's gotta be shoe.
I feel like it's a shoe. This is like my one skill. I feel like it's a shoe, man. I'm in the zone.
We say shoe.
You're gonna say shoe?
We're saying shoe.
It is a shoe. It is a tall leather boot.
Wow. Man, you guys are really good at distinguishing between shoes and gladiators.
Yeah.
You know what they say, old shoe gladiator can tell her aparter.
All right, back over here. Denial.
God, that is the best gladiator of all time.
Sweet gladiator name.
That is a powerful gladiator.
You just got denied. As a shoe, how does it work as a shoe for you?
I have a lot of denial shoes.
You didn't say the Nile, right? Mm-hmm.
Denial.
Denial.
D-E-N-I-A-L.
Oh, God, one of the best words of all time.
This is like Millionaire. You're just stalling.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Gladiator.
Gladiator it is. It's a gladiator.
It's a shoe.
Crocodile, right? It's crocodile skin,
the,
right?
The description says the slingback pointy toe is back this season.
No, it's not.
Disagree.
I was going to say.
It's not.
Buy this shoe called exactly. Denial. Kind of hard for me to believe.
Leg Steven... warmers. They come with leg warmers because those look great. Denial.
Stephen and Glenn. Stephen and Glenn, Gemini.
Now I remember Gladiator.
You remember Gladiator?
I seem to. No commitment here.
So you're saying Gladiator? Say it, man. Come on, own this.
I'm hinting. You got this? I'm leaning Gladiator.
I'm leaning. Yeah, I am as well. Gladiator.
You're correct.
All right. How are you doing this?
No, you don't understand. Like, I have this, so much of this pent up. I had to eventually, just law of averages, get good at something.
Wait a second. How badly did you do on our show? I remember you did great.
No, I didn't.
No?
He made some embarrassing mistakes.
Are you ready?
Yes,
totally.
Linda.
Havoc.
Again, I feel like I remember a gladiator named Havoc.
You do?
See? Yeah. It happens.
Okay.
It happens, phenomenon. Right? Because I watched some of that gladiator
All
show.
All right. Then, I'm with you. Yes.
That's a gladiator. Absolutely.
You're correct.
We're on the board, suckers.
Final round. All
right. I was like, oh no, we're going to fade.
Stephen and Glenn, Attila.
Wow. That shoe. Is too smart to be a shoe, by the way.
No. It doesn't fit with everything else, all the other gladiator names. It's too specific. I say shoe.
Logic. I'm gonna Glenn's logic.
You are right. It's a shoe.
There it
is. Wow.
$795 in snakeskin, but an economical $550 if you go for the kid leather.
Wow. I mean, I had that lipstick color. I just had no idea.
Shoe. All right. Final question. Sky.
Sky.
It's gladiator, obviously.
More hopeful than the rest of them.
Gladiator.
Yeah?
Sky.
Is it sky with
gladiator.
An E?
No, sky with no E.
Gladiator.
6'3" Lady Gladiator.
Yeah! I like Lady Gladiators a lot.
Is there a shoe called Closure?
No, but there should be.
I like it.
I believe you guys were indeed victorious.
Yay!
5-2 Pretty impressive victory there.
A great weight has been
lifted. Stephen and Glenn, but more to the point, thank you so much to Ophira Eisenberg and Jonathan Colton.
Thank you.
This next quiz is very personal and important and special to me personally. We are going to bring up for this next quiz the first person who ever paid me as a writer, my dear friend and the East Coast editor of Previously.tv, Sarah D. Bunting. And now we want to welcome to the stage my former coworker at Television Without Pity, also the entertainment editor of The Atlantic's The Wire, Joe Reed. Hello. I felt like because I had you guys here, I should actually ask you television questions. But then I had to try to figure out television questions that even you and you might not know the answer to. All right, I'm going to start over here with Sarah. What were the first names of the members of the family on the spoof of 50s family sitcoms, Hi, Honey, I'm Home? It's multiple choice. Oh. I wasn't expecting you to.
I could have given you a couple graphs.
Yeah.
Only a couple.
Was it A, Lloyd, Honey, Babs, and Chucky? B, Ed, Honey, Pookie, and Steve? C, George, Honey, Susie, and Bert? D, Lionel, Honey, Ginge, and Stubby? Lloyd, Honey, Babs, and Chucky. Ed, Honey, Pookie, and Steve. George, Honey, Susie, and Bert. Lionel, Honey, Ginge, and Stubby.
Because I feel that nobody could possibly have actually named a character Ginge, so that must be true. That's D. Whatever the Gingy one is.
It's Lloyd, Honey, Babs, and Chucky. It was A, I'm afraid. You guys took that one hard. Joe,
yes.
The UPN adaptation of Dilbert ran from January 1999 to August 2000. In the two-part series finale, which of the following happened to Dilbert? A, he was sucked into a vortex that spat him out in the Old West where he took over a saloon. B, he realized that Dogbert was his imaginary alter ego. C, he was impregnated with a hybrid alien baby. D, he ran for president and lost to a sea monster.
Wow.
One of those things happened in the two-part finale of the TV adaptation of Dilbert, much remembered by us all.
Talk it out.
Okay. A is Back to the Future 3. Okay, so we got Back to the Future 3. We got David Lynchy thing. We've got Prometheus. I'm going to say D, the thing with the sea monster, just to be weird.
It's actually he was impregnated with a hybrid alien baby.
Wow. Was it a hybrid with a sea
monster?
Which,
by the way, he gave away to Superman's parents on Krypton. That is absolutely true. I got these all from my this thick paperback encyclopedia of television.
Wow.
So they must all be true.
All right.
Sarah. CBS's yes. My Living Doll ran from September 1964 to September 1965 and featured Julie Newmar as a beautiful robot woman living with a psychiatrist. When Robert Cummings, who played the psychiatrist, quit the show, what happened to his character? A, he was transferred to Pakistan and his friend got custody of the robot. B, he was forced to go into hiding after his strange robot fetish was discovered. C, it was never explained. The robot just woke up living with a construction worker. Or D, he stayed upstairs for the rest of the series and the robot addressed him as if she could hear him talking down to her from the second floor.
So this is the part where you all raise cards. Right?
Transferred to Pakistan, had to go into hiding because his fetish was discovered, never explained or stayed upstairs.
I feel like in that era, the fetish was pretty accepted. Like there's genies and whatnot happening. D is Vera from Cheers. I'm going to go C.
C. No, it's actually A. He was transferred to Pakistan.
Wow.
Joe.
Yes.
In 1979... NBC spent two glorious months airing episodes of Presenting Susan Anton.
Oh, God.
A variety show built around Susan Anton.
Sure.
Which of the following were real recurring sketch characters? A, Madam and Steve, a lady magician and her hapless put-upon son who keeps messing up tricks. B, the Billy Carter dancers, who were always introduced as tapping on the White House door. C, Marge and the Sarge, a military couple who squabbles over housework. Or D, the disco monks who were trying to modernize and suggested replacing a vow of silence with a vow of jogging.
Wow. Marge and the Sarge were an amazing race team one time. We met them, right? That was fun.
They were on All Stars, too. Don't forget.
So what were the second and first one?
Madam and Steve.
Right, Madam and Steve. That's a you. You gave us Madam and Steve.
And Billy Carter tricks. Dancers.
Okay. Yeah, come
on. And Disco Monks.
I'm going to say Billy Carter Dancers.
It is actually the Disco Monks.
Ah!
Trying to modernize and suggested replacing a vow of silence with a vow of jogging.
Okay.
Sarah, the 1983 CBS comedy Small and Fry was about what? A, two lawyers who happen to be little people named Jim Small and Doug Fry. Really?
You got a winner on your hands there, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. B, detectives Nick Small and Chip Fry, of whom Fry, not Small, could shrink himself to 6 inches high. C, two brothers who call each other Small, the tall one, and Fry, the frizzy-haired one. Or D, a dog named Small and a cat named Fry who were done with claymation.
Gosh. I'm going to go with the claymation.
It's actually the detectives and the one could make himself this high. And it was Fry and not Small.
When was this?
1983.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We are cruising to that scoreless tie that everybody came here to see.
Well,
National League Baseball.
This is your final question, Joe. Okay. So this is your big chance to get out of that scoreless tie.
Okay.
Which one of the following never appeared as an act on The Gong Show?
Oh, God. Okay.
A, Paul Rubens. B, Andrea McArdle, the original Broadway Annie. C, Michael Winslow of the Police Academy movies. D, Crystal Gale.
This is a never has.
Never.
Okay.
Three of them were acts on The Gong Show.
Michael Winslow had to have. Okay. I'm going to say Andrea McArdle would have been like a zygote at the time, right? I'm going to say Andrea McArdle.
Crystal Gale.
Oh, God!
This ends in a very satisfying 0-0 tie. You're both
beautiful people.
I miss you so much.
Thank you
so much for doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I have one more quiz, and I wanted to bring a couple people up to take this one. First, a comedian and also the web producer for a little show we talked about earlier called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Josh Gondelman. And a very special person to those of us on the PCHH team who has been on the show with us, but we have not had on in a while, but we miss very much. Now an editor at the New York Times Book Review, Parul Sehgal. Hello, lovely people. I was so pleased to have everybody here for quizzes that I decided that it was a superlative, and therefore we would do Guinness Records. It's gonna be record setting.
I have a face that you're like, does he know about those? He might be a weird expert in that stuff.
All right, we will start over here with you, Josh. What record was awarded to Wheel of Fortune host Vanna White in 2013? A, most dresses worn on television. B, most smiles on television.
Oh.
C, most letters illuminated. Or D, most frequent clapper.
Oh, I can't believe they went in ascending order of how patronizing the award is. I was like, can't possibly be worse than most smiles. Most letters illuminated.
Most frequent clapper.
You like how that's almost as bad as most Vanna's whited. Like that's, man, I just don't want to live in a world where they made up most letters illuminated for Vanna White. So I'm going to say most dresses worn and just hope tomorrow I wake up in a better universe.
It's actually most frequent clapper.
Oh, no.
She's an official record holder for most frequent clapper. All right.
That's the opposite of an Emmy.
That's true.
Great job, other people! Now me, I just touch the letters and wear the dresses and smile.
Yeah, it's true. She doesn't even have to turn them anymore. They just light up. Parul,
robots taking all our jobs.
On Live with Regis and Kelly in 2009, Leslie Tipton set a record in 5.43 seconds. Which of the following was it? Fastest time to exit a locked trunk? Fastest time to enter a zipped suitcase? Fastest time to exit a sealed wooden barrel? Or fastest time to enter a professional-grade wetsuit?
These came from your brain.
Only three of them. Wow.
The other fourth was from a Saw movie.
I'm leaning towards the trunk. We live in grim times, right? Illuminated letters, maybe not, but I think yeah. I'm going
the trunk.
The trunk.
It's actually the enter the zipped suitcase. She's a contortionist.
What?
She's a contortionist. She got into a zipped suitcase.
Through what? I don't think it was zipped when she got into it.
No, she got into it. That's what they call the record, but she
got
in the suitcase and has to zip it up with her in it.
She's You better believe she's a ghost.
Josh, which collection has the largest number of items? A, the largest collection of rubber ducks. B, the largest collection of gnomes and pixies.
Those aren't real, so...
C, the largest... these are all real records. I'm just asking you which is the largest.
Okay.
The largest collection of air sick bags or the largest collection of tubes of toothpaste?
I've only ever seen a collection of one of those things in person. I am going to go, as I always do, with confirmation bias, which has always led me astray before.
Right.
And say rubber duck collection.
It is actually the air sick bags.
Oh, my God.
6,290 air sick bags in the collection.
Used or unused?
They're happily unused. I will say my favorite piece of knowledge from this is that the collection of gnomes and pixies is 2,042 gnomes and pixies who live on a 4-acre gnome reserve. Parle, which of these is the fastest, the shortest, speediest world record? Is it A, the fastest 100-meter hurdles by a person wearing swim fins? Is it B, the fastest 100-meter on a skateboard by a dog?
Oh.
That's cute.
C, the fastest 100-meter while hopping on one leg and jumping rope? Or D, the fastest 100-meter sack race?
Oh, you're a monster. I'd like to see them all, but that can't be criteria, right?
Correct.
Let's go for the one-leg skipping rope.
It is actually the 100-meter hurdles by a person wearing swim fins.
That would have been my guess.
Most picturesque one, though,
yeah,
actually.
It's
a dog on a skateboard?
Yes. I know.
14.82 seconds for men and 18.523 for women. Now, my favorite factoid about this one is that the fastest skateboarding dog is 19.65 seconds, beating the previous record of 19.678 seconds, which means someone sat there and was like, my dog could do that 2/100ths of a second faster.
Yeah.
And was right.
Yep.
And like got the Guinness people in.
That was the steroid era, though, so we can't really count those numbers.
It's got an asterisk.
It was like a Maguire-Sosa summer with those dogs on skateboards.
So the most expensive tooth ever sold at auction had what alleged provenance?
What alleged provenance? I don't know. It was the creepiest thing that's ever been paid money for.
It was Abraham Lincoln's tooth. B, it was John Lennon's tooth.
Oh. Too soon.
What I love is that the idea that it's Abraham Lincoln's tooth is fine.
Yeah, enough time has passed. Abraham Lincoln wasn't going to emancipate any other proclamations. John Lennon had another Imagine in him. He had another song that would be on every dorm room poster for a million years.
So we have Abraham Lincoln's,
Abraham Lincoln's tooth.
John Lennon's tooth. A prehistoric vulture's tooth.
Ooh. Wait, vultures don't have teeth.
Maybe prehistoric ones did. And a tooth from the original Dracula movie.
Like a not even a tooth, like a plaster show business
like a movie
tooth.
Show business tooth.
A movie tooth.
Movie tooth. Okay.
I feel like Abraham Lincoln's tooth, I feel like there's a reason to own that for history. John Lennon's tooth, ugh. I mean, nothing against the Beatles, but
right. But what do you need the tooth for?
Lincoln tooth.
It was John Lennon's tooth.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's still gross. It's still gross if it's Abraham Lincoln's tooth. Y'all.
Not as gross.
Parul, which of these is not an actual dog record? A, most people brushing dogs' teeth simultaneously.
Oh,
B, most dogs wearing ties.
Aww, should be.
C, fastest car window opened by a dog. And D, most clothes retrieved from a washing line in 1 minute by a dog.
Once again, your brain, Linda Holmes.
The three of these are real. One is not real.
I'm going to go with the window.
It is actually the dogs wearing ties. That is not a real record.
I should put more faith in us.
Let's do that.
Let's go now.
Thank you.
So that is your final question. You guys had wonderful luck with these these fantastic questions.
The first round, I will point out, they were 50-50.
They were.
That's right.
And everything else was a 25% chance.
Well, that's the thing, is like it just seems like it's been tougher and tougher as we've gone.
Well, we've been getting drunker and drunker.
Yeah.
Having to come up us.
Well, once again, thank you very much, Josh Gottelman and Parul Segal.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. So it seems only fair, I think. Everyone who just took all these quizzes would agree. It seems only fair.
Hey.
Hey. I don't think this should be just me and Steven, though.
Rebecca Liu.
All right.
Now, Linda, is Rebecca to be my friend or my enemy?
Your friend.
Okay. Hi, Rebecca! Yay! I'm so glad to see you.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, too. We will vanquish whomever's next.
That's right. My friend will be Kristen Mellowick.
I hope I'm good at this.
Now, Rebecca, our job is to glare menacingly in her direction.
Okay, I can do that.
Malosh. I was not that far off. Malosh. Kristen Malosh is going to be my teammate for this Glenn quiz.
Yep. Hey.
I'm really sorry that it's a Glenn quiz.
I'll see.
Right.
So you know what's good? I mean, empirically.
Not this.
Objectively, measurably, beyond the disputes of reasonable people.
Mm-hmm.
A dog in a cape.
Nice.
This is a quiz about Crypto, the super dog.
Oh, no.
But okay. A very specific facet of his history that people don't really talk about much. Nobody writes about this. Well, people do, but it gets cut. Eric Nelson, are you here tonight? Okay. That guy. All right. Steven, you won the coin toss. We did a coin toss.
We did do a coin toss.
Like this counts. The Crypto the Superdog story in 1966's Superboy number 131 introduces the SCPA. See what they did? SCPA.
Mm-hmm.
What does SCPA stand for? A, the Space Canine Patrol Agency. B, the Secret Club of Pet Assistants. C, the Super Crime and Punishment Award. Or D, the Society for Cruelty to Puppies. Aww.
First of all, I was certain. I'm on this hot streak, and I thought for sure that I was going to get to choose between shoes and gladiators again. I feel like it's Space Canine.
Is that B?
That's A.
Your answer is A?
Our answer is A.
That is, of course, correct.
Yeah! Uh-oh. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
In fact, guys, the SCPA is an intergalactic group of dog superheroes.
Of course it is.
Each of whom boasts one and only one superpower. Which of these is not a member of the Space Canine Patrol Agency? And I just want to say here, I've lifted the descriptions of their superpowers straight from the text.
Okay.
Unchanged.
Okay.
Is it A, hot dog,
who can heat up like a furnace. B, Paw Pooch, who can turn into a many-legged centipede canine. C, Honey Beagle, who can squirt royal jelly to trap her opponents. Or D, Tusky Husky, who can turn one of his teeth into a long tusk for prying things open. Hot Dog, Paw Pooch, Honey Beagle, Tusky Husky.
The ones that have a fluid in them are always real. In a Glenn quiz.
Royal jelly does seem a little interesting, though. But
yeah,
I'm gonna defer to you. You know the minds
like
behind
B.
the question, so.
I like B. The what was B?
Paw Pooch.
Oh yeah,
Paw Pooch. Many, like,
Paw Pooch. Because a hot dog wasn't a fluid; it was just a warm.
That's true.
That would ironically named.
That would just be like a cute dog.
Yeah,
like a cute
that might be a little like that's like the most reasonable of those four.
So what do you think we should say?
I would say A or B.
Let's say A, hot dog.
Hot dog. I'm afraid it was Honey Beagle. Made it up.
The royal joke.
You're messing with my mind.
you're key to my brain.
All right, go ahead.
Guys, who or what is or are the sworn enemies of the Space Canine Patrol Agency? Is it A, the mad dog scientist known as Lex Labrador? B, the Canine Caper Gang. C, the Feline League of Evil and Anarchy, or Flea. Or D, or D, Baron Bordetella, the Space Mange.
Oh, to be Flea.
Lex Labrador, Canine Caper Gang, Feline League of Evil and Anarchy, Baron Bordetella, the Space Mange.
I'm kind of feeling Flea.
Let's go with Flea.
It's the Canine Caper Gang.
Ah!
Yeah, right. Not so easy, is it?
Guys, complete the Space Canine Patrol Agency's rallying cry, which begins...
More royal jelly!
big dog, bow, wow, wow. We'll crush evil. 2 points if you get it with no help.
Wait, what was the first line?
Big dog, bow, wow, wow.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll crush evil.
Could be another bow, wow, wow.
I could read you the options.
Rebecca just whispered to me, I wish we could steal it.
I don't like that.
Do you want the options or do you want to go for 2 points?
Options would be nice.
I want the options.
Okay. A, any how. B, we avow. C, now. Or D, bacalao, which is a Portuguese dried and salted fish.
What do you think?
Anyhow, we avow now, bacalao.
There's not a lot of puns in that, so it's a little blind. Yeah. Weren't you saying now, though?
I was.
But I'm going to go with you on that, if that was unprompted.
Okay, how about now?
Excellent. Absolutely right. So we have a tie. Yes!
I know. I knew this was too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. This is your final question.
Oh, jeez.
The SCPA's sister organization is, of course, the SCPA. Same initials. But this stands for the Space Cat Patrol Agency. Which of the following is not a member of the Space Cat Patrol Agency? A, Atomic Tom, the plutonium-powered pussycat. B, Kitty Caboodle, who carries hundreds of crime-fighting gadgets in her bottomless kit bag. C, Power Puss, who shoots energy beams from his eyes. Or D, Crab Tabby, whose front paws are pincers.
Okay, Kitty Caboodle sounds like Glenn's brain. But so do these comic books.
I'm going to trust your hot streaking on this one.
My hot streak is over. It ended, remember? Oh, man. I'm pretty sure it's Powerpuss.
Powerpuss
is the non-real one.
Okay.
We can do this?
Yeah.
You in? You in?
All right. Let's do it.
We just blew it up. You can't see that on the podcast.
I'm afraid it was Kitty Caboodle who carries hundreds of crime-fighting gadgets in a bottomless kit bag.
Overthought.
All right. You can win it. In 1962's Adventure Comics number 293, what dread and terrible world-conquering scourge did Crypto help the Legion of Superheroes defeat? Was it A, the ravenous space badgers of Planet Q? B, the telepathic brain globes of Rombot? C, the villainous vole people of Venus? Or D, jorts?
No jeggings?
No jeggings. Ravenous space badgers, planet Q, telepathic brain globes of Rombat, the villainous vole people of Venus, jorts.
Badgers, yeah.
We like the space badgers.
Yeah.
Afraid it was the telepathic brain globes of Rombat. So we still have a tie, yes, right? We're still tied?
Yes.
Are we?
No, all right. You're not going to get to live with a tie.
Oh, damn it. It's a
tie. Okay, there is a tie-breaking lightning round. Of course there is. There's a tie-breaking lightning round. I'm going to name several more members of the Space Canine Patrol Agency, some real, some not. Tell me if each one is real or made up by me. We will keep going until one of you, two of you, gets it wrong. So we're going to start with you.
Keep going until one of us gets it right.
Tail Terrier.
Real. Agreed, real.
Real. Absolutely correct. Real.
All right.
All right.
Mammoth Mutt.
Mammoth Mutt. What do you think?
I'm thinking maybe not, but...
We're saying not.
It's real, I'm afraid.
Oh! Yeah.
Why am I proud?
Thank you. I'm proud.
Sorry.
What did I do to be proud? I'm
no,
proud.
No, no. That was one. Thank you very much, Glenn, for the
thanks, guys.
Thank you to our teammates.
Thank you.
For joining us on stage. It was wonderful to have you.
Thank
you so much. But that does bring us to the end of our show. We have a whole bunch of people that we need to thank. Obviously, everybody who is on stage with us. Ophira Eisenberg, Jonathan Colton, Sarah Bunting, Joe Reed, Josh Gondelman, and Parul Sehgal. Obviously, our dear producer emeritus, Mike Katziff. A bunch of people at NPR, Jessica Reedy, Kiana Fitzgerald, Rund Abdelfattah, Portia Robertson-Migas, Alice Winkler, Carrie Thompson, Anna Seebach, Izzy Smith, and Eric Newsom. Also Jessica Goldstein and Ellen Silva. Our friends from Ask Me Another, Dan Schofield, Jesse Baker, and Eleanor Kagan, and at the Bell House, Kristen Muller, Damon Whittemore, David Hurtgen, Andrew Mum, and Barb Zapato, who is out there selling merch for us. Thank you so much for coming. We had a fantastic time. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. Just write for a few more walks on the beach, a long drive, or walk by yourself. New and surprising NPR podcasts are a great summer soundtrack. Fascinating interviews, highlights from the week's news, storytelling, and entertainment. Browse all the NPR podcasts on iTunes now.